When BJ left Cameroon, he insisted that he wasn't planning on going to the US.
I didn't know where I was going. It's just that I was just looking for a place that I can be safe.
But when he arrived in the US in 2019, he says he was locked in detention for nearly a year and a half with a looming final order of deportation.
For me to go back home, I know that I'm going to die.
BJ is going by a pseudonym for fear of his family's safety in Cameroon. The first thing that went wrong for him was he failed his credible fear interview. This interview is generally the first step before immigrants can even apply for asylum. For BJ and others I spoke with who were in detention, this was a phone call with an asylum officer on the other end of the line trying to understand why they fled.
So can you walk me through that?
I asked him to walk me through it. Why exactly he's afraid to go back to Cameroon.
Because that was a very, very painful experience, and I can never forget it. It started with my elder sister.
First, he says separatists kidnapped his sister.
I got the news.
They're seeking independence for English-speaking Cameroon. Most of the country operates in French.
I'm really pleading with them to, like, release my elder sister.
BJ says he talked those separatists into letting his sister go, and he took her home.
She was so, so happy.
But then Cameroon's military police arrested him on suspicion of being a separatist himself.
They beat me every day, every morning.
BJ says after a few days in jail, an officer helped him escape. He ran home to his wife that same night. His two daughters and infant son were sleeping at the time, and he didn't wake them. He just leaves and goes into hiding in another part of the country. But the police came looking for him, so he left the country.
And that's a risky journey to take from Africa to this place.
BJ says when he was telling the asylum officer this story, some things were lost in translation. The English he spoke in Cameroon was different from how the asylum officer spoke.
So there were some things that he would ask me and I would not even understand.
Sometime after the interview, he got a document saying that he had a negative credible fear determination. That means the asylum officer didn't find his story believable or didn't think that he could qualify for asylum. See, with the credible fear interview, asylum officers are looking to answer a few questions.
Is there sort of a possible legal basis for their asylum claim? Does it seem like there's a reason that you fear being returned?
That's Mary Yannick, director of Tulane University's Immigrants' Rights Law Clinic.
It's supposed to be a fairly low bar.
But when BJ gets his paperwork back from that interview, he learns that he somehow didn't meet that low bar. At first, he was reassured by other people in the detention center.
They say, oh, don't worry about that. When you go in front of the judge, you can express yourself.
He could explain his story to an immigration judge in person. And BJ held on to this idea that he'd get the chance for an immigration judge to review that decision and even overturn it. His case ended up on Judge Brent Landis's desk. This time, people in his facility weren't as reassuring.
So they were like, oh, my brother, if you're going to meet Judge Landis, just know that you're going to have negative.
Landis is part of a group of judges appointed to Louisiana immigration courts during the Trump administration. They rarely sided with asylum seekers in recent years. When Landis was on the bench in Louisiana, he granted asylum in under 5% of the cases that he saw. So on the day BJ met with Landis, things didn't go well. First of all, it was via video, not in person. And BJ says Landis just asked him his name, birth date, when he left Cameroon, and when he entered the U.S. And then Landis called it. He agreed with the asylum officer that BJ isn't eligible to apply for protection. And that means he could be deported.
So when I was like, please, Your Honor, I would like, he said, be quiet. You only speak when I ask you to.
BJ says he tried to speak anyway, and Landis spun his chair around.
And telling the secretary to bring in the next person.
After hearing this from BJ, our investigative team looked at credible fear reviews by judges in Louisiana's immigration courts, and we found that they overwhelmingly upheld the original negative credible fear determinations, like the one BJ got. Nationally, judges upheld more than 70% of all credible fear determinations they reviewed between October of 2017 and August of 2021. In Louisiana, it was more than 90%. Landis's rate was nearly 100, which meant almost everyone he reviewed could not apply for asylum. BJ thinks this is not how people fleeing conflict should be treated.
No one will ever think of traveling from Africa coming to America just to come have good life. Just know that he's running away from something. And they need to protect the person. They don't need to send him back.
The way he sees it, he was running for his life, asked for protection, and instead got caught up in this web of an immigration system in the Gulf South, where judges almost never side with immigrants. And even people from countries that are clearly in crisis can be stuck in detention under threat of deportation for years. For the Gulf States Newsroom and Type Investigations, I'm Bobby Jean Mizik.